A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Now, good morning, Tony. We'll get straight into the queries. One has come in from a listener and they have an elderly neighbour who's recently not been in great health. This person calls to visit them and has a chat regularly. The problem is that this neighbour can call at inconvenient times and will frequently stay on chatting for hours and hours at a time. This listener says, I'm finding it a bit wearing and I really don't know how to deal with it without causing any hurt.
It simply sounds to me like this poor old chap is feeling lonely. And the problem is he's using you as the contact and probably a therapist as well. Now, that can be wearing. So basically what I would suggest is that over time, and without sort of provoking him too much, suggest that, you know, a few things to him if he hasn't already thought of them. You know, some sort of hobbies, gardening, whatever, art, music. There are man sheds around most of the county now, and they're a lot of people, you know, get great satisfaction from doing work in them. The other thing is maybe, and again, this one with a bit of care, is you could have a chat with neighbours that you could trust, as they say. But, you know, he might just need a few more contacts, a few more people that he could call on. So that would take the pressure off of you and then wouldn't be, you know, a wearing sort of. Because if you become a therapist for someone, it can be, without a lot of training, it can be quite wearing and it can be, you know, it could actually cause problems for you in the long run. But by sort of, if he can be introduced to other people who might have whatever, you know, invite him around for a cup of tea or, you know, show him how to do something or invite him, you know, whatever, you know, just contact is all is really needed. And that sort of contact would save you and would help him a heck of a lot. That'd be my sort of approach to somebody like that. He's not doing any harm. He doesn't know he's causing any problems. And there's no need for you at this stage anyway to even mention anything like that to him, because that could really upset him if you did. But as I say, if you play it nice and gently, and, you know, get, as I say, other people maybe who would give him an invite, come around, have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with us, you know, that sort of thing.
So you'd be subtly, in a very subtle way, as you pointed out there, in a very subtle way, you'd be trying to broaden this man's social circle.
Yes, social circle and just contact, because sometimes, you know, especially rural Ireland was notorious for it. I remember when I was in Galway, that was 50-odd years ago, there were people who were literally out of contact with society. And it is a very difficult situation to be in if you don't have transport and you're living in a kind of a country district where the nearest neighbour could be 3 or 4 miles away from you. It's a hell of a difference between being 25 years of age and 75 years of age in that sort of situation. And so by literally, as you said, gently introducing him to other people or to organisations. There are now the man sheds are well known around the county, but there are a lot of other sort of organisations that provide, you know, literally social contact for people. They can come have a cup of tea and a chat. And that may be all this chap needs is that little bit of social contact.
Now, I'm another query. I'm devout in my religion and I pray every day. My wife, on the other hand, is a doubter and she makes remarks and ridicules me on occasion. This upsets me and I wonder, what's the best way I can handle the situation?
Now, this is a very, it's a very sensitive area, let's put it this way. And belief is sometimes difficult to define. And, you know, basically, I'm sort of the more modern approach that everything that you believe in really has to be proved in one form or another. Science, in other words, has to come into belief Because if you believe everything and you look at religions over the last 10,000 years in the world, there's some very strange beliefs and people absolutely believe them. But then we have the defined religions, you know, we have Christianity, Muslims, and so on and so forth, which are more recent prophets or teachers who came to bring a better system to the world. And if I'm to believe in any of these, I personally would have to, as it were, bring science into focus. And, you know, what I would say here is this is just two very different people with two very different attitudes to what religion is. Some people, religion is belief regardless of how it's proved or otherwise. And then the other side of that is I need proof. I need some, you know, system to be able to, you know, focus that belief into actuality. And so what I would say here is you have two different people who are very different focuses in life, but who necessarily are very good people. So the last thing you want to do is create a barrier between them.
Because I was wondering, like, obviously we know a lot about religious fundamentalism, but there can be secular fundamentalism as well. And in terms of zero tolerance for any people with no faith, who have a faith and an almost default sneering attitude. So whether, you know, there's dangers within religious fundamentalism, but there's also
fundamentalism.
Yes, or just atheistic fundamentalism. It's always about having, I suppose, a politeness and a respect and a position of we'll agree to disagree.
Yes, but ultimately, you know, religion, as I say, this is one I often get a slap on the wrist for, but ultimately I think science and religion will come together. Mm. That is my belief in time. It may take generations or hundreds of years, whatever, but I think science is getting closer to proving a lot of the things about religion. You know, for instance, that the world was made and, there's no such thing as time and space. Now science is very close to proving that because the quantum mechanics, the quantum theory is beginning to look at a world which is in flux. It's more of a flux system where time and space mean a totally different thing from what we used to think they were. And so science in one level is coming closer to religion, and religion is beginning that there are sort of, you know, there are Muslims I've spoken to who are very, very scientific. And the same with the Christian faith. A lot of, I remember one of the great teachers in the Catholic Church was Teilhard de Chardin. And he was thinking very much down along those lines sort of as well. So ultimately you have two people who both believe in something and both, one needs proof, the other doesn't. But that doesn't mean they can't talk to
exactly.
each other.
It doesn't necessarily mean they're incompatible. And Teilhard de Chardin is a great example of a priest who was a groundbreaking scientist as well. And there are other examples through history, such as the father of genetics, Mendel. Look, Tony, fascinating. I wish we had more time. Keep your calls and comments coming in for Tony. Anything that we didn't get a chance to get to, we will get to next Wednesday when Tony returns for Problem Shared.